May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm just going to read a few scriptures to you. This is from John 15. I've found myself lately just gripped with learning, being ministered to by the Lord, wanting to communicate the divine outflow, our assignment. We know that in Christ we experience a perpetual divine inflow. But that inflow should be rivers of living waters that flow out of our innermost being, not just flow in our innermost being or to us. And we've talked about a lot lately that our assignment is basically just to carry Christ to the world, to be the life of Christ to the world and carry his unconditional and sacrificial love to persons. And in the process of doing that, bring heaven to earth, whether or not you're just simply stopping to show an act of kindness to someone, or you're praying for the sick, or you're whatever, that we're carrying Christ. We're the carriers of Christ, and we're the only body that he has. And this is what it says in John 15. He says in verse 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." That's about relationship, intimacy, our union. "And I appointed you," that's about assignment, "that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, have an eternal value to it." There's a couple of things. These are not unfamiliar passages, and we're not obviously not going to spend much time on these verses. We don't have time to do that. In Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus heals the paralytic, after that, Jesus is hanging out with tax gatherers, with sinners. And the Pharisees see that, and they begin to judge him. But when he hears this in verse 12 of Matthew 9, he says, Is it not those who are healthy who need a physician? It is not those who are healthy need a physician, but those who are sick, who are ill. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. And then he says the same thing again in chapter 12 when he goes to the grain fields and they're plucking grain, giving grain on the Sabbath, and he gets rebuked again. And Jesus basically rebukes them and says, God's more concerned that these people who are my followers, their hunger is met than he is about keeping all the rules. And then he says again, don't you understand? I desire compassion and not sacrifice. There are a number of times when Jesus ministered to people that it would start off with this foundational place and said, being moved with compassion or being filled with compassion, then Jesus would begin to minister to people and heal the demoniac and heal those who were sick and that kind of thing. And one of the things I discovered over the years, we used to teach this in the Song of Solomon, there are really three levels of the anointing that you carry. The first level of breakthrough when you begin to manifest the anointing and anointing in your life is when you discover that you're God's favorite. But then the second level is that in light of that, God becomes your favorite. But then the third level of anointing is when you begin, out of union with him, to begin to experience his love for others, that he lives for others. And that carries, compassion carries a highest level of anointing. We've talked about that in our study of C.T. Kayers, looking at the life and times of Elijah. And when Elijah prayed for that boy who was dead, and he stretched out over him three times, and again, I shared this in Nevada, like, why did Jesus do that? I mean, why did Elijah stretch out on him three times? Because the first two times he didn't get healed. There was something tenacious about that, and that we give up so easily, especially in the West. And then we always have a convenient theology just to let people know, you know, God causes all things to work together for good, and that's true. But we don't use that as a backup. That becomes our first line of offense. We're going to pull that out immediately because we don't expect people to get healed. We're going to give up on them if in sacrificial love they don't change, even just ministering to them. And so there's a boldness, there's a tenacity, there's an audacity. We need to ask for ridiculous things. When Elijah prayed for that boy, nobody that we know of in Scripture had ever been raised from the dead. That was the first time anybody was ever raised from the dead, but Elijah went for it. And he kept going for it until it happened. But he was moved with compassion. That's the foundation and principal issue, that Jesus desires compassion and not sacrifice. And in the Mark passage, telling that same story about them going through the grain fields, immediately after that, Jesus heals a boy on the Sabbath, or heals somebody on the Sabbath, and the disciples are getting rebuked again. He's getting rebuked by the Pharisees. And Jesus says this. This is the same story where he said, I desire compassion, not sacrifice. Then Jesus said, was it evil to do good on the Sabbath or to not do good on the Sabbath? Is that evil? And we've talked about this before, CTKers. Jesus was basically saying, here's a man who needed to be healed. It's the Sabbath. I can do something about it. And if I do something about it, then that's good. But if I don't do something about something I can do something about, that's participating in evil. Here's the thing for us. Because we're carriers of Christ, you and I can do something about it. We can do something about it. And Jesus said in that John passage, to go and bear fruit, to walk out of the doors, we can't. This is where we're fed. This is where we're filled. This is where we celebrate Kingdom Oktoberfest. You know, like Germans all get together and act like Germans, dress like Germans. When we all come together and dress like heavenly beings and eat heavenly food and sing heavenly songs and hear words about who we are as people seated in heavenly places, then we go in union with the compassion of Christ and do something about it. And this is what kind of compelled me today to talk about this again. And those of you who know me long enough, usually what happens to me is I'll keep talking about something until the conversation stops in my head and my heart, then we'll go on to the next conversation. So if you're getting tired of hearing this, you need to ask the Lord to tell him, ask the Lord to stop talking to him about it, because he won't stop. Listen, this is Paul. And if you know anything about Paul, if you're reading Scripture, Paul wasn't by nature like the friendliest, happy-go-lucky person. He was hard to work with. And God transformed him as time went by. I mean, if you can't get along with Barnabas, you can't get along with anybody. Barnabas' name meant son of encouragement. If you can't get along with somebody whose primary function, ministry, is encouragement, then you're hard to work with. And yet, Jesus makes all the difference in all of us, doesn't he? He's the transformative secret, not your personality type or your family background. We all come from the same family tree. It's the cross. Paul, speaking to the Philippians, he says this. This just blew me away. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more in real experience and in discernment. And the word discernment means perception. Now, Paul said this. Now, I'm going to give you a little language lesson for you. For God is my witness, how I long. The word long here really means I'm crazy pathetic right now. That's what the word, it comes from the word pathetic. And it carries the idea of sort of crazy pathetic, seriously pathetic. Paul says, God is my witness how seriously pathetic I am with the affection of Christ for you. That's being moved with compassion. That's the Apostle Paul. And Paul is just like us. When I saw that, what happened this morning is I got a call from, or I got some text from somebody who's real close, and they were letting me know that their dog, they're not from here or in the state, that their dog was like paralyzed. Their dog's like the sweetest dog in the world. I think he's the most popular person in the CEC, Toby. He's so friendly. And they just have been through a lot in the last 6 months. And so I know how much they love Toby. And I told him, I said, well, if it was Henry, and it was going to cost a lot of money, I said, I can tell you if it's Henry, I'd sell one of my children probably, unfortunately. And he thought that was funny. He didn't know I was not kidding. I said, you got to do what you got to do to get Toby well. So I left with Toby getting an MRI to find out why he couldn't walk and couldn't stand. But I remember hanging up. When I quit texting him, I just broke down and started crying because it just broke my heart. You know, maybe it made me think about Henry. I don't know how much I love my dog, how much you can love your dog. And the Lord just began to speak to my heart. He said, that's compassion. He said, I said, I'm pathetic. This is pathetic. And the Lord took me to the Scripture, and I began to do some word study, and he said, you're pathetic over a dog. He said, that's the kind of heart I want you to carry for the world. That'll drive you into every situation. If you're pathetic with the affection of Christ, I love that term. It's the word inward parts. If you're pathetic with the inward parts, the affection of Christ for others, you boldness, tenacity, and audacity won't be an issue. You won't care what people think about you, and you'll ask for crazy stuff, and you won't give up. That's what love is like. Haven't you found that to be true? But I love that about Paul. And so this is now like one of those things I pray now. Okay, God, if I'm in union with Christ, I want my emotions to be in union with his pathetic heart. It's pathetic. The Son of God hung on the cross. He was crucified naked, not with a loincloth, naked. That's the way they crucified people. Humiliated, suffering. It's pathetic. He was a pathetic figure. But the word pathetic doesn't mean like you're stupid. It really means the idea of extreme passion. there's suffering in your inner man because there's extreme passion. And just pray, oh God, if I'm in union with Christ, and I know that I am, that I want his heart, his pathetic heart. I want to be as pathetic as Jesus is for people, because then the boldness and the audacity and tenacity part just kind of come. So I would just dare you, if you got time. You say, what do you mean if you got time? Well, because it's going to mean you're going to get really inconvenienced a lot. Do you ever notice that? Do you never notice that's the greatest barrier? One's fear, but the other greatest barrier to actually carrying the love of Christ, bringing heaven to earth outside these doors? Is this really inconvenient? Because we got a schedule. You want miracles or you want your schedule? You want signs and wonders or you want your schedule? When you get pathetic, you don't care. And Paul said, God is my witness of how crazy pathetic I am with the affections of Christ for you. Man, that's like one of those things again, like, oh, wow. Then I'm shooting for that one. I want to experience that. The equipment's all there. I'm in union with Christ. Now, I want to manifest that, Lord. I'm 65. I don't have time to not do that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.